There are some things you should always check, like the hygiene rating on your local takeaway, the setting on your razor, and whether the party actually is fancy dress. The other thing you should check is your Experian credit report, especially if you're looking to borrow money. It lets you understand what lenders see, so you can increase your chances of getting the best deals. It's dead easy to check it, and completely free. See it in seconds. Download the Experian app today.
You've reached the final level. The Spicy McNuggets side mission. Maximum flavour, crispy crunch, and a spicy dip with a kick. Are you ready? Spicy McNuggets, for a limited time only.
Until the 9th of September 25. Fees apply to delivery. Participation and price may vary. Subject to availability. Serving times apply.
You're watching and listening Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, TJ Pittinger. The national championship game is over. That means college football is officially on hiatus. I'm officially moving into my off-season depression.
Time for you to get to work. I feel like you get all your work done in like the 9 months that aren't off-season, but or that aren't season. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that, you know, what we live for and what we enjoy the most is now over. And so college football, like, is kind of like the NFL now, though, with the transfer portal and the combine. I mean, combine's kind of like a mix between the two, right? Like, you still are kind of cheering for your guys to go. And so, but it's kind of all year. I mean, the games aren't all year, but at least this is, you know, kind of all year. So anyway, college football done. It's time to let it die, I guess. It's time to kind of move on from it. I may have lost Allie. We may have technical difficulties like right off the rip. Pull the computer. So we'll get rolling in just a sec. Why don't you go ahead and pull the computer just in case?
Okay.
Can you pull the computer?
Working on it right now.
I'll kind of, while you're back, I'll let you kind of roll. So a weird college football season, but at least like a complete one, right? Last year's kind of sucked with all the bowl. I mean, there were a couple of bowl cancellations, but all the bowl cancellations, everything that happened last year, 10 game seasons, nobody liked that.
Right.
Some teams didn't even play. You had opt-outs of complete games. I mean, way more in the bowl season. I don't know that it was any better this year than last year, but thankfully we got through a full season. That's about all I got on that.
I mean, I enjoyed last football season, but this one was better in terms of, you know, full complete seasons. We got to have those rivalries back again. You know, Florida State had been canceled last year. Like, it was just a weird year overall, right? And we actually made it through the regular season with I think no cancellations. I think there was like one or two games that were moved but not actually canceled. And then of course we went into bowl season and we saw a bunch of minor bowls canceled. But I mean, for the most part, I would say it's a pretty darn successful season.
I think so. Even more so for you because the SEC won the national championship. And so you were able to celebrate your heart out on Monday night. Before we get into the game, how much do you hate Monday night college football?
So much. I don't. Okay. Here's the thing.
I love it on Labor Day. I'll say that. I love it on Labor Day. I do too. I'm cool with that.
A holiday weekend where nobody has to go to work the next day or you don't have to get up and take your kids to school or whatever, fine. I'm all for stretching football so that we have it as many days in a row as possible when that's the case. But on Monday night, when there's two East Coast teams, you're not starting the game till almost 8:30. Everybody has to go to work and school the next day for a sport that prides itself on being a Saturday sport makes zero sense to me. I legit do not understand. I mean, I know why, but I think it's stupid and I can't believe that ESPN.
Well, why? What is the, okay. So what I thought was,
NFL.
Well, but here's the thing. College football has the chance to change it because the NFL added a week and there were no playoff games last week. And so the NCAA, they won't because they suck.
Right.
But the NCAA needs to adjust and move it to Saturday because it kind of made sense because you had NFL playoff games Saturday, Sunday, and then the championship on Monday.
But is it now even that we the no NCAA? Longer... Because technically the college football playoffs isn't even the NCAA, right?
Well, it was for a while, though. And I also think, like, as much as we love college football, like, if you look at, I want to say the top 16 viewed events from last year, like on TV, were all NFL games. They were like 48 of the top 50. And so as much as we love college football and like it more than the NFL, college football is smart to not try to compete with the NFL playoffs. You know, like we may tune in to it, but it kind of makes sense. But they should adjust. They should adjust it backwards and play it on Saturdays from now on, because right. There's just no reason to do it if it's not going to compete with the NFL.
Right. I agree with that. Look at that. But, we agreed on something.
Look at that. It only took 3 years. Have we known each other at all? Something like that. So, yeah. All right. Do you want to get into the game? Your laptop up? Are we ready?
Laptop is...
I don't want to start the game until...
Yeah, I know. It's logging me in. It's... I'm trying to remember my Twitter password.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, right? Trying to remember. It's saved on, like, most of my devices. It's not saved on this.
You don't have the same password for every single thing ever?
I do until something, shuts me out or makes me do a new one or something.
Reset. And then
I'm in. So,
all right, I'm going to have Allie switch over to the computer.
All right, let's see.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the actual game. This is like live radio, though, so you guys can just put up with it. We'll be back in just a sec. Allie will pop back in, and we'll go. I'm just glad it was her freezing and not me. So I think she's coming back, but we'll kind of do a recap of the national championship, and then I think we'll be pretty quick and out of here tonight. I don't think we'll stick around for a super long time. Don't know that there's a ton else to talk about. All right, I'm glad Allie's back.
All right, so all right. Hold on a sec. Let's see what we can do here. Now we have to brighten up. Maybe.
Perfect. That's good. Maybe down a couple. All right.
So this national.
Yeah. So this. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I feel like that's a good thing. All right, we're starting over, kind of, but really kind just of. Kind of keeping going. This national championship started out. So I was on a podcast and was a little bit delayed getting to watch the game. And I didn't miss much in the first half. A 9-6 game in the first half, 5 field goals. What did you think about the first half in this game?
So honestly, it was cracking me up because I was thinking that Alabama was going to potentially pull this off with field goals, which is obviously, would be crazy, but also kind of reminiscent of that Alabama LSU game, a few years back, but that kind of, that might've been either the last BCS game or close to the last BCS game prior to the playoffs. No,
the last BCS game. Remember, the all-time reigning champions are Florida State.
Yeah. Oh, how can I ever forget?
But that was the regular season game. The 9-6 was regular season. The championship ended up being 21-0, but I know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, anyway, it was reminding me a little bit of that game, but, it was a dogfight. It was a great game. I think, the wheels kind of fell off. What?
No pun intended.
No pun intended at all. The wheels kind of fell off at the very end for Alabama, obviously. But the first half of that game, Alabama and Georgia were slugging it out. I really felt like Alabama was going to pull out the victory, judging by what I saw in the first half. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised. that it was tight all the way through. I feel like that's what kind of what we expected. I think we talked about on this podcast, you pointed it out actually, how it didn't really seem like Georgia brought a big rush defensively the first game. And that you talked about, like, if they got to Bryce, that could be the difference for them. And I really do think that was a large portion of the difference for them. Their defense played a lot better this game than they did the first one. They brought pressure, which was different than the first time that they played. But, listen, they were down there two top wide receivers by the end of the game, and that's a pretty large thing to overcome.
Yeah. You know, the injuries definitely played a part. And Alabama didn't run the ball very well. You know, they ran the ball for a total of, well, it's 68 yards, but that includes like the sack yardage, or 30 yards, but that includes
yardage. Georgia's defense came to play.
Yeah. He was missing his top guys, but, and I'm not saying that didn't have an impact, but he also just missed a lot of guys. Like, errant throws, and I think it was due to the pressure. Yeah. Like, he was only sacked four times, but he was pressured an absolute
lot.
And one of those was on the last play of the game that didn't really matter. Oh, no, I've got him with five sacks for the day. But, he was only sacked five times, which is a ton.
That's a ton.
So much. And Alabama could not run the ball. Like, there's never been a situation where I really saw another defense that – you've seen teams shut down Alabama's passing game because they've just never had great quarterbacks, before, like Tua and Hurts and stuff. They won a title with AJ McHandoff, right? Like, and so to see Alabama rush for 30 yards in a national championship game is remarkable. I do think Alabama had chances in the first half.
They did.
I don't want to say put it away, but just like make a difference. Like, first drive of the game, they drive 56 yards down inside UGA's 20, and Bryce Young misses Billingsley. They have to settle for a field goal. That opening drive felt like Alabama is going to do whatever they want tonight. It truly felt like they cannot stop them, and this is probably going to be another Alabama national championship. Georgia gets the ball back and has to punt after not gaining a yard on three consecutive plays. Alabama doesn't do anything with it. Georgia punts again. Three plays, 1 yard. Georgia had six plays run and a total of 1 yard, and Alabama wasn't able to do really anything with that. I mean, they got the one field goal. Georgia has a long drive down inside of Alabama's five, has to settle for a field goal as well. But Georgia was very much bend, don't break. I mean, Alabama did a little bit too, but, another 50-yard drive for Alabama, another 55-yard drive for Alabama, and they're moving the ball kind of at will until they got to the red zone. And I thought that was a good job by Georgia to play bend, don't break and say Bryce is going to have to beat us, because as great as Alabama is running the ball, they couldn't do anything on the ground against Georgia all night. I mean, it was just – it was almost ridiculous how good Georgia was defensively in that first half in the whole game, but to hold Alabama to
The whole game, obviously the first half was a lot closer than the second half. You can just even judging by what the score ended up being, but Alabama, I think, did everything that they possibly could. I think that we talked about how this is Saban's worst team in 10 years, which sounds really stupid to say because obviously they're in the national championship game and they gave the eventual national champion everything they could handle. But I just think between this team maybe being a tick below the more recent Alabama national champion teams and missing their two starting corners, which hurts. They were already missing their number one wide receiver, but their number two wide receiver goes out in this game with torn ACL. That hurts. Four of six scholarship running backs did not play in this game, which maybe has something to do with them not being able to establish much of a running game. But I really think more credit goes to Georgia's defense than anything else. But those are big obstacles to overcome. And knowing all of that information, the fact that they were still that close really says a lot about this Alabama team. It really says a lot about Saban as a coach. You heard Kirby say after the game, and I think that it's true, that this is probably Saban's best coaching job ever this season. I would say that that's probably accurate. This team has had to overcome more than Alabama teams in the past. Not only overcome them, but really didn't have as much as other Alabama teams in the past. But they got a lot of guys coming back, so I don't expect them to go, you know, anywhere from here. And I mean, Georgia, all the credit in the world.
I was going to say, can we talk to about Georgia a little bit?
Yes, yes.
Alabama, I'm 10 there. Minutes of.
Listen,
I know it's super hard to do this, but you're going to have to do it.
I am. I'm getting to that. They showed up ready to play. They took the criticism that they heard, you know, after the Alabama game. They applied it. They made changes. They learned things from that game. Which obviously is huge. I think the Stetson Bennett story is so freaking cool. I love that he didn't quit, right? I think that in this day and age, most people in Stetson Bennett's position would not have waited as long as he has. They would have transferred out. I mean, I know he transferred to JUCO and then came back to begin with, but once he got there and found out that he was third or fourth on the depth chart to start the season, he would have, most guys would have been gone. And the fact that he stuck it out, the Georgia fans were not kind to him this season at all. He stood there, he took it. And at the end of the day, he won his team a national championship. And I think that it's so cool. I love that this is, he called a shot at 3 years old. And I, you know, hats off to Georgia, your national champion. Needed new headphones there for all that.
I lost you for half a second. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. But yeah, I mean, and you know what? I don't really see what is stopping Georgia unless Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, somebody steps to the plate, because they are loaded. There's lots of young, really talented 4- and 5-star guys. And, you know, for all the people that say that stars don't matter, there were more stars. I forgot what the stat was I read, but there were more 4- and 5-stars in this game than like 10 other bowl games combined. Stars matter. We saw them. Having the ability to replace one guy with the next matters. We can see what recruiting does, right?
Yeah. I think it, I mean, you were kind of spinning, and I didn't really agree with it, but it didn't end up happening anyway, so we don't have to disagree again. But you were kind of spinning that if Alabama could beat Georgia, that maybe Napier, not maybe, I think you kind of, that's what you said, like Napier can kind of like show that, you know,
yes,
sell the fact that, like, if Alabama would have been one, Allie said that Napier could have like kind of spun or could have told recruits, hey, look, they can't even get over the, you know,
yes,
the hump
if Georgia
of winning it all.
If Georgia didn't get it done against this Alabama team, I don't think that that would have boded well for Georgia in the coming seasons, who have maybe a less ideal situation on their regular schedule, and then also an Alabama team that's a year older. This Alabama team's incredibly young, and it's
so here's the counterpoint to that. Is it any easier for Florida? Because like that, your point is basically that Napier would say.
No.
So I don't see how that's a selling point for Napier, because basically Napier's saying like, hey, they're not as good as that other team that's like great over there. But there's
the
still
selling
like,
point would have been.
Go ahead. Sorry, you give the selling point, and then I'm going to give you the counter.
Selling point would have
you
been.
You recruit a kid here. This is it. You recruit a kid right now. You're Billy Napier. You recruit a kid if Alabama would have just won.
I would have said if Alabama had just won, I would have said, look, we played them closer with none of the infrastructure that I just put in place. We are one missing piece away from being able to beat Alabama. We're every bit as close as Georgia was. That is what
I'm Kirby Smart, and Napier walks out, and I walk into that same kid's living room, and I say, he's full of crap. They lost seven.
Well, now you say, I'm the national champion.
Yeah.
You want to win one of these? Come here.
But even if they had lost, I just say, they're full of crap. I beat them by 30 last year. It doesn't matter.
I mean, Florida beat them the year before that. I don't know that that means a whole lot. But, hey, they're the reigning national champions. Recruiting will be easier this season for them than it has been, which they've been great at it the last few, so they don't even need it to be easier. But it will be easier this year because they are national champions.
How does okay, so second half, we'll talk about this, then we'll talk kind of big picture. But my point was I never really bought that line of thinking, because I think that Kirby could just kind of sell, like, you know, is if Napier was using that to recruit, is he recruiting for Alabama or is he recruiting for Florida? Because I think Kirby's sell would have very easily been, okay, yeah, we can't get over the hump, but they can't even get out of fifth in the conference or in the division, right? Like, so I think if you're going to try and negative recruit Georgia, I don't think you're trying to negative recruit Georgia because they lost a national championship, right? Like, when you lost the Gasparilla.
This is the easiest game that they'll have for the national championship game in the foreseeable future. So if they couldn't have gotten this done, it doesn't bode well for what is to come. But they did get it done.
But they at least got there, right? Like, it's more impressive to lose the national championship than to lose the Gasparilla Bowl to UCF, right? Like, that, I guess that's kind of my point, is like, yes, it would have been a problem if Georgia lost this game. But Florida's got much, much bigger problems as a program, as a football team.
Sure, but Napier's spin is that he wasn't there then, and he's put something completely different in motion, and he has bigger plans. Georgia has the person that they think can get them to the promised land, and prior to Monday night, he hadn't. So I mean, we're just going to have to agree to disagree, because had Georgia lost, I think that there's a huge opening recruiting wise for how you spin that. That opportunity is no longer there. Georgia won the national championship, so it's a moot point anyway. But I think had they lost, there is an opening to use that to your advantage. But they won.
I've read. So. I mean, if I was Billy Napier, what I would say to recruit is that what we're putting together is about to be Alabama on horse steroids, and I would tell every kid that. Like, I would.
Well, I'm sure that they will say that. I'm sure that they will.
We're gonna like, I would tell kids what the fan base is telling each other, and I would say that I'm going to make Saban look like Willie Taggart. Like, that's what I would say if I was Billy Napier.
I mean, you think that is as believable as Georgia can't get over the hump and never will? Because I mean,
they just proved they could.
Right. Well, I'm saying, but we're talking about what we would have said. I think that you do say, absolutely. Listen, I worked under Saban. I think that he is great. I have the blueprint. I've got some tweaks that I want to make to the blueprint.
Can Kirby say all that? Can Kirby say all that same stuff?
Sure can, but Kirby has a stupid ass swoop. So, you know.
And?
But now he's got a ring that he will use to.
A thing on his right finger. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what he'll use to recruit with now.
So second half, Georgia kind of drives, has to end up punting the ball away. And then, what I thought kind of the recipe would be, you know, Bryce Young was not great in this game, had to throw the ball way too much, had a pass intercepted that just was really unnecessary, just kind of threw it down the right sideline and ended up being intercepted. Teams traded kind of wasted possessions. Georgia did nothing with the interception. Alabama drove down and had a field goal blocked. Right after that field goal was blocked, James Cook, shout out Dalvin's little brother, had a 67-yard run that set them up perfectly to take the lead, 13-9. Alabama answered, cut it a little closer with a field goal. And then it kind of got weird. You kind of thought, like, okay, this might be the moment. I didn't love the ruling on this play, but it was just so close and so weird that I think that's just kind of why they left it stand. But how crazy is it that Alabama doesn't score a touchdown in this game if they're not set up from the 12-yard line? Yeah. Or the 16, I'm sorry. They were on the 16.
Yeah.
They don't score a touchdown in that game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. Like, nothing will convince me that they would have. Georgia's defense, I don't know. I mean, I know they're – I guess you'd have to go back, and maybe I should have done this before the pod started, but have you ever – I mean, so Alabama ended up scoring 18. So it's not the lowest, because I know there have been, you know, Florida State,
right.
Nebraska, 16-18. So, you know, there's a couple of points less there. But minus that field goal, I'm sorry, minus that touchdown after the fumble, Alabama really only, their offense only really put up like 12 points, right? You know, drove and scored for it, right? Like, I mean, they get credit for the touchdown. I don't know if I've ever seen a defensive performance that dominant in a national championship game. Like, I don't know if anybody's ever scored. Well, we scored two one time, so I guess there has been. But, man, that not against an Alabama team, though. Like, that is absurd.
Florida was 41-14, and the one of those two was a complete, at the very end, garbage playing Florida's third string in 2006.
Yeah, but your opponent wasn't like Nick's, and that's my point. There have been lower scores, you know. Florida done it.
I mean, it was Jim Tressel who was considered,
who is not Nick Saban,
you know, badass at the time.
I don't think we're going there, but he was great. Great coach, but he's not Nick Saban.
Right. There's not a nobody's Nick Saban.
That's my point. To hold a Nick Saban coach team to 4 field goals is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
UGA scores again to go up by 8, and then you have the pick 6 to make it kind of look a lot.
I mean, wasn't Ohio in 2008, Oklahoma's offense was billed as like the greatest offense ever. Right,
2008.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that was like that, because that was.
I'm not quite as old as you, so I don't.
You're not quite as old as me. Okay,
I'm not.
Well, that's true.
I'm not sure, but they're not as. I mean, whoever that was that Stoops still? Yeah, I mean, he's not
it was Stoops still, and
come on,
they were considered. Incredibly good. Florida won 24-14, so it's just another very low.
Yeah, a low-scoring game where you're, you know, kind of close throughout. It's a different game today. Like, offenses are much different today than you know, what you saw then. But anyway, holding a Saban coach team to 4 field goals is impressive. I know you have to give Georgia
incredibly so.
Very impressive here.
Incredibly.
One of the most impressive things I've ever seen. I don't know that – I mean – we could look at all those opponents we just talked about. I don't know that no team that you just mentioned, you know, Nebraska in 93, you know, all the ones we just mentioned, Florida State in 2000, Oklahoma, when you guys beat them 24-14, none of those teams were as talented as this Alabama team was without those two.
Do you think that they hold them if Williams doesn't get hurt?
Maybe Alabama scores again, but I think the biggest problem is that they couldn't run the ball. And when they couldn't run the ball, they were able to get pressure after Bryce pretty good, and was off.
Like, I would have been interested to see this Alabama team healthy. I don't know that the outcome changes, but I think maybe the points change.
Possibly. But I mean,
you're down two starting top wide receivers. That's huge. You're down 4 of 6 running backs. That's huge.
Yeah, very possibly. But, I mean, they didn't run the ball well with their number one, you know, and averaged 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, but do you think they keep going to their number one, or do you think they try something else if they have the option?
If you're telling me that George is – I mean, I
don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm going to answer.
There was no other option.
If we're playing the hypothetical game, if George is shutting down their number one, I don't think that their number 2 or 3 or 4 is just all of a sudden going to start working. I think that had more to do with Georgia's.
I honestly don't know enough about Alabama's running backs, but that they were missing to you know, prove this point or anything. But you know, there are different types of running backs too, so it just depends on who you know. You've got little backs, you've got power backs, you've got you know Percy Harvin type. You've got like I mean,
so their top 3 rushers for the season. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm gonna call. You know, that's not the case. Their top 3 rushers for the season were Brian Robinson, who's the one that didn't play super well. Right. Bryce Young was second as far as attempts go. And then Trey Sanders was 3rd. Everybody after that had less than 50 rushes and really didn't, you know, 50, 15, 7, you know.
Yeah.
So – their top 2 running backs and Robinson and Sanders were there. Bryce Young is their 3rd.
Obviously there, right.
Highest. So it sounds good to say the next 4 were out, but those guys didn't even combine for 100 rushes for the year. Got a lot of garbage time type stuff. So
yeah,
they had their big 2. Like, you know, and Robinson had 16 touchdowns where everyone else for the year combined had 10. So, and that includes Bryce Young's 3, Trey Sanders is 2. Actually, that's not even, you know, no, I take that back. There were only 2 outside of those top 3, there were only 2 rushing touchdowns for the year. The other ones kind of happened to receiving. So, I don't know. I don't think it would have made that big. I don't think would have made that big of a difference.
Yeah.
Receiving, probably. If Mechie would have been there, if Williams would have been able to stay healthy, probably makes a difference. But again, I think there were definitely missteps and mistakes and things that Alabama's receivers, like not being the top 2, there were some drops, but I think lot of it was just Bryce being inaccurate. I think you could probably go to Pro Football Focus, and they kind of break down the stats more. They'll kind of give you a better, like, oh, here's how many balls were dropped. Here's how many balls were, like, affected by pressure. Here's how many balls were tipped. Here's how many balls were just complete misses.
Right.
But there were several that, like, were just wildly inerrant, like, not even close because of Georgia's pressure. And to me, that was – to me, I mean, it's hard to equate that thing when you're just, like, watching the game and, you know, you're I didn't watch every Georgia game, every Alabama game this year. I mean, I watched plenty, but – when you're watching the game, it's hard to distinguish, like, what – oh, this weighed more. To me, it seemed like the bigger difference in the game was the pressure, kind of like we talked about in the preview, the pressure that they would put on Bryce, or they should put on Bryce, and him not being very accurate with it.
Yeah.
You know, were there drops? Yes. Would it have helped to have a number one or number two archer? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he just didn't look good with or without those. I mean, that doesn't – you know, a guy being out there doesn't mean – you know, how accurate of a ball you throw. So, I don't know. I think it would have helped. I don't think it would have changed the result. It's hard to say that, you know, a quarterback that, again, there were drops, a quarterback that, you know, threw the ball. I mean, he threw the ball 57 times. I mean, they gave up on the run. I mean, they had 28 rushes and 57 passes, whereas Georgia kind of stayed true to what they wanted to do.
Right.
Obviously, you had the big long run by Cook. But outside of that, Zamir White had 84 yards. He averaged 6.5 a carry. I thought they did a really good job running the ball. Obviously, Cook breaks the big one, but they had 30 rushes to 26 passes. They stayed very balanced, and they wore Alabama out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the big difference. When they were driving down for the touchdown to go up by 8, which, pet peeve, they should have gone for 2 there to go up by 9, because the worst thing that happens is – they just tie you up.
Right.
If you miss it, if you get it, you win. But anyway, when they were driving down and they were going for like 6-7 yards a play, I mean, you knew then that it was, I'd never seen Alabama just get gashed every single play.
Yeah.
Gash. 6 yards, 7 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards. It was wild.
Yeah. I mean, you could feel the momentum switch. It was, or not even switch, because it was just so contested prior to that. But I feel like it was hard to imagine how Alabama was going to counter that.
Yeah. So, all right. So I had this take before the game, and I think you thought I was an idiot, and you probably still do, but I think you thought I was an idiot for this take specifically. Again, I thought Georgia was the better team all year. I thought they played poorly in Atlanta, and it would be on them to show that they were the better team all year in this game. I thought you saw, you know, they weren't able to do everything they wanted. They were not great in the first half offensively, but I thought that you saw a much more focused Georgia. You saw a more careful Georgia. No turnovers. Well, I'm sorry, the fumble. Yeah, the fumble late, but no errant. And that was kind of a fluky, like, was it a fumble? Was it not? You know, looked like he was trying to throw it away. I thought you saw a much better Georgia team that didn't let Alabama capitalized on mistakes in Atlanta. I thought you saw a Georgia team that Alabama scored 3 touchdowns off of 3 Georgia turnovers, and 21 points was the difference in the game. And that doesn't even account for like what Georgia would have scored if they hadn't turned the ball over. And so I thought you saw Georgia play a little bit, I don't know if conservative, more conservatively is the right way, but like they let Alabama make the mistakes, and they kind of dared and baited them into doing that. And they did.
Yeah.
Bryce Young threw the game away a few times, a couple interceptions. He wasn't very accurate throwing the ball at all. And I thought Georgia was, you know, after the end of the night, I thought Georgia played more like Georgia had played all year, and Alabama played more like Alabama had played all year. Struggling with Auburn, struggling with LSU, struggling with Florida. And I thought that was the biggest difference. I thought it was a deserved national championship.
Like, it was a deserved national championship. Absolutely. It was a deserved national championship. And I think that, you know, my biggest takeaway from that is Kirby adjusted, you know, Kirby learned from what happened in game one, and whether that was great scheming by Alabama, terrible play by Georgia, whatever, Kirby made the adjustments he needed to, and it looked like a different Georgia team the second time that they played Alabama. So, I mean, hats off to Georgia. They definitely deserve it.
Great story, like you said, with Stetson Bennett. So cool. I'm also interested to see. I mean, we've talked about this. We've talked about schedules, and we've got an entire 8.5 months of offseason to talk about schedules. But UGA's schedule is really, really favorable again next year. Again, I think the East is kind of down. Some teams I think are actually on the rise. I think South Carolina's a team that in a couple of years could make some noise. I think that Tennessee's a team that
I think that the East as a whole is on the rise. I just don't think that it's necessarily going to have risen by next season.
By 2022.
I think that this year, Florida and Tennessee are on the rise. I think that Kentucky, honestly, has just kind of proven that they're consistently good, but not great, but good. You know, I think that they are – I don't know that the rise is, I think they've risen. I don't know that I think that their ceiling's a whole lot higher than it is, but I like them where they are. But I think that they've proven that year in and year out, they can consistently be a thorn in the side of a lot of teams in the East. And that's a pretty deadly, you know, role for them to play.
So they'll talk about game of the weekend. Actually, opening weekend is going to be so much fun. You guys play
Utah,
which is a fun one. Georgia plays Oregon. Think about the storylines in that with Dan Lanning going to coach at Oregon.
Heck yeah.
That's a fun one. It's in Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta. I mean, I don't think anybody in the world's picking, you know, Oregon to win that game, right. But hopefully it'll be fun. And then the rest of their schedule is, and we always do this, but I don't see another loss on their schedule. They play Samford. They play at South Carolina early in the year. I mean, maybe something weird happens there. Not betting on it. Kent State, obviously a win. At Missouri, I don't see that as a loss. They play Auburn, who was terrible this year, but it's at home. So rivalry game, but it's in Sanford Stadium. Vandy, Florida, Tennessee. Yeah, Florida or Tennessee could pull an upset, but that'd be exactly what it was. Obviously, they get Florida neutral, Tennessee on the at home. So even that's a little easier. Mississippi State, that's kind of an interesting one. Late November, I mean, maybe you're kind of like,
where's Kentucky on there?
Kentucky's also at Kentucky late in the year.
Okay, so it's like, honestly, that's a more fluky one for me than Mississippi State is.
Yeah, and so you're kind of looking at them all like, well, you might be able to get an upset here, but I mean, all of these games, Georgia's gonna be a double digit favorite. I mean, there's no, I mean, unless they've like dropped a few games and the wheels have come off or something weird like that, but I mean, all this said, they're going to be back in Atlanta again next year, in my opinion, playing against Alabama, or maybe A&M can make some, I don't know, but playing against one of those teams.
I'm glad that Florida doesn't have Alabama on the schedule next year, because I feel like Saban will be on the warpath given how this game ended up. But yeah, I mean, listen, Georgia's going to be favored in every single game on their schedule. And unless the season goes differently than we think that it will with the people that they have coming back, any loss would be considered an upset.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, they should not. I mean, they should go 13-0 next year.
Yeah, they should.
And they're in the position now, and this is kind of just the era of the playoff. I mean, Alabama got the same kind of benefit by losing to Texas A&M and still getting to go play in the SEC championship and then go on. But they're in the position now where even if they were to drop a game, I don't think it really matters. They would just need to win in Atlanta. They would, you know, need to not screw it up there. So, anyway,
the reason why that is that because if they drop one to a fluky team, odds are they're not dropping it to a team who runs the table or only has one loss, which is the only way that keeps them out of Atlanta. So even let's say Florida, Kentucky, or Tennessee does upset them, the odds that Florida, Kentucky, or Tennessee only has one loss on their schedule and so therefore goes because they won the head-to-head is slim, right? The odds that one of those teams only has one loss is just small. So Georgia does have a nice little cushion for next year that if they do drop one, odds are they're still representing the East in the SEC championship game. They would have to win that SEC championship game more than likely because they, if they had a loss to go to the playoffs. Now, if they don't have a loss, they could lose that and they'll still go to the playoff more than likely.
Yeah, it would be, to me, it would be pretty shocking if they didn't, not pretty shocking. No, I'd be absolutely like dead shocked if they didn't. Like that would have been, okay, here's what it would have been like. If I'd have told you at the beginning of this season that not only was Clemson not going to win the ACC, they weren't even going to make the championship game.
Right.
Would you have been like, come on. Like they may drop a game. They could get upset here or there, but they're not going to not make the championship game.
Right.
And that's the same way I feel. I would be
if it is
shocked out of my mind.
Disappointment to like that is will be hard to describe if Georgia isn't back in Atlanta.
Yeah, because their schedule is cake. I mean, there's no reason that they
their schedule is cake. They return a lot of talent. They've recruited.
Yeah, they're still the second. They're still a top two. And I will say this too about. I mean, Georgia was, and I don't know if this was just a down year in college football or.
I think there was more parity this year than normal years.
Yeah, I think. Well, outside of Georgia, right? Like, I think that, like, I think that. I don't know. What would have happened in an Alabama-Michigan game?
Oh, Alabama would have beaten Michigan, I think.
I don't know.
Do you have the same kind of injuries? Do you have – I mean, I don't
Mechie
know.
Was out, so, I mean, you have one different guy. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that I guess my point was just, like, I thought that college football just in general was pretty down. And I don't know if that has to do, like, with a hangover from the COVID year or guys didn't get the right kind of training, you know –
I mean, I don't
training think and evaluation that, and stuff like that. Like you're seeing more guys enter the portal now because coaches couldn't evaluate recruits.
Right.
And guys couldn't take visits and stuff. So is there just kind of like a stemming effect from that? Because I think Georgia was an absolutely elite team and Alabama was elite. I mean, or really good, like how you want to put that. And then the rest of college football, I think was just like, meh. Like I didn't think anybody was good after
that. I think there was a lot of parity. I don't necessarily think that a lot of parity means it's a down year. I think that there a lot of the time we have two teams or three teams or four teams that are just heads and tails better than everybody else. And I honestly think, I mean, Alabama beat Georgia. So we can say like Georgia was elite and Alabama was really good, but Alabama beat them once. So I think that Alabama and Georgia were the right two teams to get into the playoffs. But then I do think that there was probably maybe five or six that were all, you could have pretty much mixed and matched. And I think the outcome would have ended up with Georgia and Alabama in the national title game. I don't know. And so I think there was a whole lot of parity on that next tier.
Yeah.
And I don't know that any of them make a huge difference anywhere else.
Yeah. I just think that next tier just was not, you know, I thought it was weaker this year than it's been in quite a while.
I don't know if it was that it's weaker or that it,
I mean,
because they're all so similar.
Five team. Yeah, I mean, but here's the point.
But we always have blowouts in the playoffs, so like I don't know.
But a group of five team made the playoff.
Yeah. Right?
Like so, I mean, I think that kind of shows you like the Big 12 wasn't as good as it normally was.
Yeah.
The Pac-12 was worse than it usually is. Like Utah made. I mean, they're the Pac-12 representative for the. I mean, not that they're ever great, but the Pac-12 representative for the Rose Bowl finished 10-4. I mean, that's
and gave Ohio State everything they could handle.
Yeah. Oklahoma wasn't good. You know, they nearly lost to Tulsa week one and then lost a few times after that. And so, I don't know. I just thought that we all, like, nobody believed in Notre Dame all year. And then they ended up
except for you, because it was your like, best win.
No, I don't know about that. We actually beat Miami. I think we had a better win than you guys this year. If you think about it like that.
I don't know. I mean, Florida was a disappointment this season, right? This is not the way that we saw it playing out. This was not, even if this isn't.
No, you guys were going to Atlanta is what they were telling me.
The fact that Florida did not play better is a disappointment. This isn't like, this team had the talent to have finished a lot better than they did.
I think so. I think they had the talent in certain positions, but at quarterback and on defense, I don't think they did. I don't think the defense got any better from last year.
I mean,
the complaints you had about defense last year
were
basically the same. And then the quarterback
play
was much worse.
I mean,
you basically lost three first rounders.
Listen, right? Yeah, I mean, they lost
Tony
a lot of talent.
but a lot of talent offense, and the defense didn't get any better either. I think that's
this
tough.
Same team plays as well as they played against Alabama against in all their other games, and they win a couple more ball games. This only with the amount of talent that's on the team. And I'm not saying this is, you know, a national championship caliber team necessarily at all. But if that team had played the same way they did against Alabama, they would have won more ball games. There was a breakdown this season for Florida. This wasn't, I don't think the record reflects the talent, even though I agree with you that the talent isn't as good as it could be.
Yeah. No, I mean, if they play like they did against Alabama, I still think
they beat Missouri and they beat South Carolina. If they play like they played against Alabama,
they probably split with LSU and Kentucky and they lose to Georgia. So I got 9-3.
Like, I mean, they lose to Georgia that game. Georgia, I think they still lose to Georgia, but I think that they, I mean, they potentially beat LSU, but I definitely think they beat Missouri and they beat South Carolina. The record's better. I mean, it doesn't even matter who it is. If they played as well as they played against Alabama, they beat other teams that they were favored to win. And, you know, anyway, this season.
Probably. I mean, yeah. Like, do they go 6-6? No. Is it more than likely? No. Like,
there were some, I mean, there was a few games. I mean,
we talked about this is the worst Alabama team in 10 years. We've, you know, Alabama definitely got better through the year. So I know that you guys are proud of that 2-point loss. I think that 2-point loss is less impressive today than it was earlier in the year. Would you agree with that? Like, Alabama got better.
I think that's really splitting hairs. This is a team that just lost the national championship game.
We thought Alabama was better when you guys played them than we did at the end of the year.
When we say this is the worst Alabama team in 10 years.
You said that. I didn't say that.
I said that. But it's still better than pretty much everybody else in college football.
I mean, I think basically what happens, the sports gods were mad at you guys for celebrating a loss, and that's why you guys ended up losing a few more.
We just took that page out of y'all's book with Notre Dame, so I guess they were equally mad, and that's why you weren't bowl eligible.
That's why 3 points separated us this year, because we're basically the same. All right. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. Probably the NFL playoffs. I'm going to the game on Sunday, so weather is going to be terrible. Can't wait. Thank you for hanging out with us all year as we argued about college football. We're not going anywhere. It sounded like I was going to be like, we'll be back next year. But I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, no, but we'll continue to argue next week.
Yeah, I'll be right. I'll be wrong. It'll be great. Have a great night. Go Noles. And go Dogs. Congratulations. Again, SEC. That's awesome.